Previously on Compassion Radio.
Evangelical Alliance was started in 1960. In 1960, there was only 30 believers in the country.
The entire nation. Wow.
Entire nation.
So you are some of the first fruits then.
Yes.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
From the ends of the earth to where you live, this is the daily radio journal that takes you to the front lines of faith in ways that are, at turns, unbelievable and faith-building. Today, we have another powerful, up-close report on the miracles that faith is bringing about, right where they're needed most. Bram is back with day two of his conversation with a dynamic brother in faith named Pastor Harka. You might recall our previous time spent with this tireless pastor in the wake of the ravaging earthquake that hit his country of Nepal a little over 2 years ago. You'll soon hear about the miracles that have truly come about right where they're needed most. And as a reminder, be sure to get the latest updates on our podcasts, blogs, and special announcements, all at our new and improved website, CompassionRadio.com. Here's Bram to continue day two with Pastor Harka.
Tell me about some of the big challenges that churches are facing, especially since the massive earthquake which leveled so much of the country.
Okay. And 2 years ago, the big earthquake happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was massive earthquake. 12,000 over people died.
Yes.
Many. It covers 40 districts of whole country affected.
Wow.
14 districts were totally demolished.
Yeah.
It was massive.
If you think about the scope of the country, even if we just limit it to maybe a U.S. state, if you think about the numbers of counties that are in a state like Arkansas or Iowa, which is, I think, similar in size to what Nepal is now,
mm-hmm.
and you're talking
mm-hmm.
about dozens and dozens of counties. If
yeah.
you were to say more than half of those counties were not just affected, but were flattened, that not one building
right.
was left standing, that's the kind of challenge
right.
you're facing.
Right, right. So it was tough. It was tough. Actually, on Friday, Saturday, we were worshiping the Lord, and it was 11:55. I was just preaching, and I was going into my topic, and I started just the first heading, and there hits the earthquake.
Hmm.
I mean, we were shattered here and there inside with the kids and everybody. We were about 80 to 100 people in small hall.
Yeah.
Squeeze. It was really tough.
This was all happening during the worship service?
Yes, and the first earthquake.
So what did you do at that moment?
We had no ways to cry to the Lord. My pulpit was fall down, and then believers were here. Kids were crying, weeping, and we had only one door. There was no ways to go. And my wife and others were taking care of younger kids in the upstairs, another flat. We were in the middle. It was disaster.
Hmm.
It was disaster. We had no hope.
So you had
completely.
No hope in that moment. But what happened to the people?
Yes. Then we were all crying and, crying to the Lord and praying. That was only one thing we could do because there was nothing else we could do.
Mm-hmm.
And when earthquake started kind of slowing down, we came out on the street, and the street was again sinking.
Hmm.
And we could go inside. And the Saturday, so we came out on the street. Got again a guitar, somebody, it was still a shaking, and we started singing for the people because people were crying. And we saw that we had a hope, we have a hope in Jesus. We cannot cry like other people. So we started doing a worship service in the open area, sing the song.
Tell me a little bit more about that particular worship service.
So we started singing. People were there in open field, open area. They were crying because, it was very difficult for them. You know, part of their maybe our families on the mountain died and all were. It was really, really sorrowful moment there.
Yeah.
But we wanted to show the hope of Christ there with the singings and worship. And they would know that we could testify Christ with this. At least we have a hope. in that.
So as the scripture says, you mourn, but not as those who have no hope.
Yes.
You mourn in a way that you know God will hear. And was there a response from the people around you who were not part of your church during that time?
Yes, yes, yes. They came and listened to us. They stand with us and try to sing, try to forget they know what is happening. And we prayed for some of them. And we said it will be all right, okay. At least we could say it's all right. Believe in Christ.
And in the aftermath of that kind of tragedy, you learn the scope, the magnitude of it. You learn where people have died and where buildings will never be rebuilt again.
Yeah.
But you are focused on the people around you. But as we would say, the reality sets in. You've gone through this traumatic experience, but then the trauma goes on.
Yeah.
And you as a church have to figure out what is God calling us to in the suffering we find ourselves, and where is God in the suffering that the people around us are going through when all the most important questions are being asked. Is there a God? And if there is, why did this happen to us? You're tackling all the big existential questions that human beings ever go through, and you're getting all of that in heaps and piles around you, literally.
Right.
When people's world is crumbling around them, we talk about them looking for an anchor.
Yeah.
So I know that Compassion Radio came around you in a little way and tried to help with a project, and we did what we could at the time.
Yeah.
So I like to know how the churches in the West and Compassion Radio's gift, how did you use those? And what were you able to do through the generosity of the Christians from the West?
Yeah, I want to really thank Compassion Radio, Norms, and Cherry, entire family, Compassion families, for our listeners and friends who supported for us. We began from there, supplying all the needs. I mean, it went to weeks and weeks there, so we've been there for 3 weeks in a tent, raining, so we have to buy a food, waters, bringing there. It was so demolished everywhere. I mean, it was crisis. I mean, people can't go and open the stores, but we bought food and supplies, and we went in the mountain, brought utensils and then tents and food for people, and we are still continue doing it.
And
we have not stopped.
There are plenty of people up in the mountains, especially, that still have no permanent structures rebuilt yet.
But not yet.
And as I understand it, most of the people in your church now have some kind of housing to replace what they had, but no one's back to square one yet. And
yeah.
So what are you doing right now in the rebuilding process? How are you caring for your congregation, and how is the congregation caring for the country?
Our congregations, like some of our friends, I mean, believers were suffering because they were in rented place, because most of our believers are from out of Bali. So they are in Kathmandu, they are working, and they attend the church. Mm-hmm. And some of our believers couldn't go to houses where they were renting. So we made tin roof type of temporary houses for them. And we still carry out, we collect money from our church and then go and support. It's a continual part.
The people in the church are pretty much living what we read about in the New Testament, about Paul's encouragement to not forget those who were poor back in Jerusalem. And, of course, historically we know that people in Jerusalem weren't just poor. They were being desperately persecuted.
Yeah.
And they were in dire straits. So you have a very similar situation with the people in your country, and you're encouraging your believers to stand up for them and to give generously and watch God fill your cup.
Right.
I marvel at that, and I'm very proud of you for the kind of faith you've exercised during this time and watching God literally multiply with zero and create something.
Thank you.
So I know we need to find our way back into the center of that, and you have some other dreams that are coming, even in the midst of the reconstruction of simple things like storage cellars and bedrooms and places for people to be out of the snow in the winters. You have even bigger dreams that God's been planting in your heart even during this time. So tell me a little bit about where your vision's going, how God's moving in your heart now.
So Lord is placing me in really, really wonderful ministries, like the need of providing the word to people, the Bible translations. I believe in people's lifetime, at least they must have a right to receive the word in their language.
Mm-hmm.
And we are doing it. I'm now leading 8 language projects.
8 languages all
translation
at once. Wow.
Yes.
And how far are these language groups from you?
Oh, it's in mountain. You have to ride hours and hours. So Next thing is with the Wycliffe Associates, we are doing an open source Bible that can be available to anybody in the world, anytime they can access.
Very good. Are there speakers of these languages around the world that are helping you with this?
We help Wycliffe Associates, and because I'm working with Wycliffe Associates there in Nepal, leading an office, so we do that one. And with the base of this Nepali open source Bible, we're translating other languages.
That's awesome. How soon do you expect to be able to accomplish that task of reaching those eight people groups?
Some of the, like, two languages already, New Testament is already finished. Before
Marvelous.
I came, flew U.S., one was already finished. The Book of Revelation was remaining a little bit. Mm-hmm. And we went in the field and cultivated, brought the data and uploading.
So that's two out of the way already, and you're on the way to getting the printed word to them.
Many are halfway. Yes.
So halfway through the other ones. So what do you think?
Yes.
2, 5, 10 years?
It's actually in 3 years' time.
Three years' time.
For most of them.
Will that cover the majority of the people groups and languages that are in Nepal now?
No, it's only eight languages. There are 31 languages that are remaining out of 127, and there are many more dialects.
Yes. So there's another 30 or so out there ready to be tackled next. But you're proving that you can take on more than one job at a time, and that God somehow leverages your time in a way that really builds the kingdom and quickly.
Fascinating conversation on today's Compassion Radio, and we'll get right back to it in just a moment after this word from Cher Nelson.
Those of you who are longtime listeners know that for many, many years we've had an annual project of raising money for Bibles for China. And we've always done it over Christmas, and we are doing the project again this year, but now we're doing it for Christmas. Well, we're delighted to do so, but now we hope that your Christmas spirit is available this early to make that possible. For $6, you can place a Bible in the hands of a Christian family who is just aching for one. We know that for every Bible we place, and there are other members in the family who will have access to that Bible, that there will be 4 or 5 people come to know Christ just through the placement of one Bible. We know that there are 20,000 to 30,000 new Christians in China every day, so we know how great the need is. Now, can you get in your Christmas spirit, and can you help us to get the Bibles to China for Christmas this year? Also, as you've heard us tell you year after year, there are well over 100,000 Chinese missionaries that are moving out across the ancient Silk Road trade routes to take back all of that Islamic territory for Jesus Christ. They understand that this Back to Jerusalem movement could help stop extremist Muslim terrorism right in its tracks. And as you probably know, we also believe that that is the only answer to terrorism and Islamization, the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Our in-country partners can print and deliver these rugged Chinese language Bibles for as little as $6 a piece. Reach us at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Now, let's get back to today's program.
God somehow leverages your time in a way that really builds the kingdom and quickly.
Yes, this next thing I can tell you, I want to tell something why it was possible.
Yes, please.
We are taking a route of church-based Bible translation. It was very different route. Because in the past, always people, recruited and they did the Bible translation. Now, church is involved.
Mm-hmm.
And the leadership training I'm handling, leading in Nepal, using a BIL course, which is Biblical Institute of Leadership Development, every year I come for international summit. The students have adopted the language part of their artifacts, the languages. I assign actually all the 39 to students. Eight we have started. So it's a progress, it's a pilot project.
Okay.
And so using pastors and leaders to translate the Bible.
Very good.
They know their languages. They know their needs. It's not somebody who goes in a far away and learn the language and translate.
Yes. But they're also learning how to reach back across to the other world languages to be able to network with those who are helping with that effort. So they're doing double duty as well. They're being evangelists and interpreters within their own language group, but also introducing those believers and those prayer warriors around the world that are helping make this project advance.
Yeah.
And you are kind of a bridge between all those worlds. And I think you're doing a marvelous job of it.
Thank you very much.
Even your English is marvelous.
Thank you very much.
I know that God's... Yeah, well, it's true.
I'm happy.
Yeah, certainly better than mine in Nepali.
Now, yeah, I know, of course.
Maybe somebody can teach me a few key words, like, how do I find my way around the
syllabus? Jai Masi. Maybe Jai Masi you can say.
Fair enough. Well, get the syllabus together. I'll start working on those words for our next interview. So these people, these pastors, you're training them not just to lead their congregations, but to advance the kingdom and the word of God into those language groups that are close by to them, or at least close enough that they can see over the horizon. And you've got another 30 or so languages out there.
Yes, this is how it works. If they are enrolled in the course, Antioch School, they have to train 10 to 20 their leaders.
They are required to train 10 to 20 other leaders.
Yes. The theological studies of the past was residential. Mm-hmm. And it's always good. It's always good, good to seminary and study. But
yes,
that hasn't covered the need of the leaders in the place, in an area. So this is a different way of studying, different method and process. You provide theological education in service.
Yes.
Where they are serving the Lord, get all the resources and degree, all the study resources for them. They can learn together. They can serve the Lord. They can plant the churches. They can translate the Bible. They can reach out to unreached people group in the place.
This is seminary with boots on.
Yeah, in service.
So the people are serving as they're learning, and the expectation is that the kingdom of God's not slowing down, so why should we? And I do agree with you that sometimes retreat and getting back to some place where you can just focus on that sweet time of the Lord ministering to you directly is marvelous. It's got its value. But in God's economy right now, especially in countries like Nepal, the needs and the opportunities are so great that there's not the luxury of spending years away from the people in the need just to get deeper into the Word. So someday you might be able to bring it back and encourage the next generation. So you're running alongside the entire way. And, of course, we know from other parts of the world, this is the way that the kingdom grows. In fact, it's the way that the kingdom grew in the first century. You got on the road together. Right. You learned as you walked. And so you're taking the gospel and translating it. Now, what's happening with these translations? Will they become printed books that will be brought to the villages? Or are you going straight to orality ministries where they're being recorded? What are you doing with the Word of God in these new languages?
So we are translating and using a translation studio, and then we'll put into cloud for anybody can access, they can access. And we also, we are looking for our friends and families and partners to give us some help and hands to print for them and provide for them. We are translating, printing, and give it to them every book as we move on. But in long run, they may need maybe a complete compiled copies, but we need that one. Even to continue with this project we're doing, it's a church-based, church has to handle, leader has to handle. There's no resources involved, but in the field, we need some kind of help to assist and to continue to a faster process to, you know, go in field and continue to encourage them.
Yes. So there are some needs for missional people in certain roles that would come and be partnering with you on the field.
Yes.
And along the way, too, you mentioned to us earlier that radio might be part of this mix. So tell us about that.
This is what the very important thing. The word is out. When we translate, word has to go to peoples.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the projects I'm really, my friends actually were challenging me. Maybe I'm part of Compassion Radio. They may know it somewhere.
You know,
you have a potential to do something. And what they say, they have equipment, but they said your part is to get raised $6,000 and then we'll get ready everything and go in air. That can reach millions of people in the place.
Is there really an audience in Nepal right now that would turn the dial and say, well, this is something new. I want to hear more about this.
Yes. One of the, you see, in Nepal, in our developing countries, people don't want to eat food. Rather, they want to have a cell phone. So in cell phone, you can just plug in and hear. You know, any news, you know, any hymns and songs and everything they're enjoying. And cell phones is everywhere.
And cell phones over there often do have radio receivers built in, correct?
Yes, yes.
So it is a radio like you'd have in your car, but it's in your palm of your hand. I was imagining, as you mentioned a minute ago, about how the translations of the word are going into apps and going on the cloud. And I'm trying to imagine. I'm trying to imagine some young believer sitting on a hill at the far end of Nepal, pulling down the latest translation of, say, the Book of Mark, and listening to it from there in their country in their own language.
Yeah. You know, I'm thrilled with this. I'm really thrilled with this. Everyone has a mobile. You can buy in $10,
yeah,
maybe $5 phone. Everyone is carrying in everywhere in a mountain. So when you plug in earphone, there comes radio, yeah, stations, FM, any that you can listen it. So in every individual life, if you want to change it, you can go with radio.
Amazing.
So that this doesn't cost much. When I talk to sir, this is what my friends are challenging me. How can I do it?
Yeah.
She said, yes, we can do it.
And
it's not a big...
Harco, what you're describing, too, is not going back into like the 20th century U.S. where radio had its place because it was one of only two types of broadcasts we had. You're talking about microcasting, getting things to people very specifically. The kind of evangelistic needs and questions that are being raised now in this generation, and how you can, like a laser, get in there, but also use broadcast as a way to disseminate large volumes of the material of the Word of God that's never even been heard in those language groups. You can have both. You'll be able to target the person that has the cell phone there. You'll be able to target the families that are gathering together for home churches. All kinds of things could happen in cooperation and in synergy with each other to build a kingdom very quickly. So I love your vision. And you're talking not about a whole lot of money for the Western world, but of course it's not a small sum for the believers in Nepal. And somewhere down the road, somebody out there who's listening to Compassion Radio is going to step in and say, I'd like to be part of that dream, Harco.
Thank you very much.
So I'm praying that that would happen. So friends, as you're listening to this program, in the coming year, we're going to be looking for special ways and special opportunities for a kind of directed giving that will allow us to, with the technology that is now available, with the opportunity that's now available to get signal in places of the world that's never had it before, to help backstop the incredible efforts that are being done in Bible translation and evangelistic outreach and seminary training in these what were previously closed countries. And what Pastor Harco is describing is this blending of all these technologies and putting them together in such a way they are much bigger than the sum of their parts, so that Nepal might really be a sentinel to the rest of Asia for how evangelistic outreach and how the kingdom can plant its flag and flourish, and, of course, benefit the nation around them.
Together, we inherit an incredible legacy and opportunity to support the entire body of Christ around the world. For decades, this ministry has gone to the places where virtually no other ministry or media agency has gone, to bring you the stories of God's victory and the amazing work of His people. Why do we do it? One, to encourage the faithful in some of the toughest places on earth. And two, to inspire you to exercise your faith in effective, knowledgeable prayer and through practical help to those that need to see the compassion of Jesus. A hallmark of this ministry for over two decades is our annual God's Word for China project. It's far and away our most popular project, and it's fairly simple to understand why. The church in China continues to grow at an astonishing rate, around 20,000 a day. That's around 7 million new believers a year in China. These are new, professing disciples of Jesus who are passionate and motivated to grow in their faith. Every year, Compassion Radio partners like you play their part in helping supply the booming church with the Bibles they need to train the millions of new converts. We hope to send thousands and thousands of new Bibles through your above and beyond giving. Our in-country partners can print and deliver these rugged Chinese language Bibles for as little as $6 a piece. How many Bibles would you like to send to the fastest growing church in the world in China? We've told you about the need. Let us hear from you. And while you're at it, let us know what you're thankful for this year. And let us know that you want us to continue doing this work now and for the years to come. For your support of Compassion Radio and our God's Word for China project this month, we'd love to send you something that will remind you to pray every day for the church in China. We have a new supply of two very special and popular crosses made in China.
One is a beautiful dark mahogany tinted wood, and the other is a pewter cross of nails. They can be worn around your neck. You can hang them from the mirror in your car, or you can pin it to your message board at home. Any way you display it, you're proclaiming your solidarity with the Christians in China and your faithful partnership with Compassion Radio. Let us know how many you'd like when you contact us today. Reach us at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or find us online at CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram and Sandy Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll be back with you again next time with more Compassion Radio.